The Juneau Road winds an additional 3 miles north along the canal, and another Yukon mine lays off workers. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Haines police continue the investigation into a string of burglaries last week. Acting Police Chief Simon Ford said the process is moving along, but may require time before any arrest is made. The department heard from about 30 residents early last week who reported items missing from unlocked vehicles parked along Young Road and Deschutes Drive. But the highest concentration of thefts occurred in the Linview Drive, Union Street, and 3rd Avenue areas. Ford said police recovered more than 90 of the stolen items, but the property can't yet be returned to the owners until any court cases involving the thefts is complete. Ford said police do have 2 suspects and a few other people of interest that may have also been involved, but because it may take the state crime lab time to process the evidence, police and prosecutors do not want to make arrests until the case is ready for prosecution. Once an arrest is made or a charge is filed, prosecutors only have 120 days to formally try the suspects. According to the CBC, another Western Canadian mining company has some bad news this week. Yukon Zinc announced Thursday it is laying off workers and cutting back production at its Wolverine mine due to falling zinc and silver prices. In a news release, Yukon Zinc said it will reduce its production by 40% and workforce by 30% to reduce costs. The company plans to operate its mill processing for 2-week periods with 2 weeks of maintenance to conserve power. It said underground mine operations will be cut to a single shift daily with about half the existing manpower. Earlier this month, Alexco Resources announced it was laying off 15 miners and eliminating another 15 vacant positions. Alexco ships minerals through the port of Skagway. Yukon Zinc at one time identified Skagway as its choice of port for exporting, but before it began production in 2010, the company decided it would ship its ore out of Stewart, British Columbia. Mining exploration in the Yukon Territory is already slumping compared to last year. Michael Quake, executive director of the Yukon Chamber of Mines, said it could get worse, especially over the short term, as investors look for safer places to put their money away from the mining industry. Gold prices hit a 3-year low earlier this week, and Quake said the plunge affected everyone from large operating mines in Yukon to the smallest placer mines out of the creeks. Juneau now has 3 more miles of road, and it could be significant for the Lynn Canal. Governor Sean Parnell cut the ribbon earlier this week for the Glacier Highway extension from Echo Cove to Cascade Point. The new road started life as a pioneer road when Frank Murkowski was governor. Parnell finished it under the state's so-called Road to Resources program. To celebrate the 3 miles, state transportation officials invited Juneau Road supporters, including Juneau Mayor Merrill Sanford, and Southeast legislators Kathy Munoz and Dennis Egan, who helped get $5 million in the state capital budget in 2006 for the project. The state hired Canal Construction in 2007 to push through the initial 16-foot-wide Pioneer Road. In 2011, Miller Construction won the contract to build it into the new 26-foot-wide 2-lane road. State highway crews added a chip seal coat late last week. The stripes will be painted before the end of the month. DOT Commissioner Pat Kemp called chip seal a poor man's pavement used in low volume roads.
So the incremental cost of this project, including design and everything else, is about $1.5 million a mile, which is pretty darn economical these days.
The 3 miles crisscross Gold Belt Native Corporation and U.S. Forest Service land. Kemp said the state has worked with the two entities for about 20 years on a road extension. The right-of-way that passes through Gold Belt land was donated by the corporation to DOT.
You'll see a entering Forest Service property sign, then you'll see 100 feet later, you'll see a sign leaving Forest Service property. It's a sawtooth property thing.
Though it was paid for with state funds, the Forest Service required an environmental impact statement for the 3 miles, which Kemp said antagonized the process. The gate at the end of the road goes to Gold Belt property. While DOT officials are careful to say the road extension is not part of the proposed Juneau Access Project, Kemp dared to look forward.
If we're fortunate enough to begin construction on the Juneau Access Project and you're looking at that gate, the road will actually go up the hill a little bit and turn left and head out towards Kensington Mine and up the canal.
A supplemental environmental impact statement on Juneau Access, sometimes called the Lynn Canal Highway, is still underway. DOT's preferred alternative is a 50-mile road from Echo Cove to Katsahine, where motorists would take a shuttle ferry to Haines or Skagway. The SEIS is looking at transportation improvements with the existing ferry system. Governor Parnell told the crowd gathered under a tent at the side of the new pavement that the access would create recreational and commercial opportunities. Gold Belt and Kensington Gold Mine are expected to benefit from the additional 3 miles. Giving no specifics, Gold Belt Board Chair Catherine Eldmar said the road would enhance the corporation's potential development. Kensington General Manager Wayne Zagarlik said the road finally makes a new dock at the Cascade Point feasible. Right now, Kensington worker crews commute by shuttle ferry from Yankee Cove to the Berners Bay Mine, but the company has always preferred access from Cascade Point. In these days of falling metal prices, he said Kensington owner Core Alaska is carefully assessing where to put its money, but in the long term, Cascade Point would save money and shave 10 to 15 minutes off the commute. Zagarlik was not specific on the cost of building a new terminal at Cascade Point, which would require dredging and a breakwater. He said the proposed facility is designed and the company has been discussing a lease with Gold Belt. The Haines HeliMap Amendment Committee meetings continue this week over the next 3 days straight. The committee is responsible for analyzing the boundaries for the heliski operations near Haines and recommending any changes to the borough manager to implement next year. The committee received at least 18 map proposals from area residents to consider. Some propose expanding the boundaries in which heliski companies can operate. Others propose restricting them more than they are now. The 5-person committee has already convened once, and at that meeting decided in a close vote to not consider any additional information, including scientific data, that wasn't included in the map proposals themselves. Instead, the committee is basically considering the submitted proposals on their own merit, according to committee chair Damon Hoffman. The committee is scheduled to meet Thursday at 4 p.m., Friday at 4 p.m., and Saturday at 10 a.m. in assembly chambers. The committee must submit its recommendation to the manager no later than June 30th. Any recommended changes will have to be approved by the borough assembly. An Oklahoma company's plan to mine gold from a large area around Yakutat is dead and buried, but there's still interest in smaller operations near the northern southeast community. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Walk along the water at Yakutat Strawberry Point, and you'll see a well-used fish camp. Miniature houses with windows and siding stand next to wall tents, Quonset huts, and weather-damaged cabins. There's plenty of driftwood for fires, wildflowers for photos, and seabirds for watching.
He does look a little bit like a cormorant.
It does, yeah.
There's also plenty of sand. Sand, one company claimed, could bring Yakutat one hell of an economic boom.
The preliminary sampling shows a potentially commercial deposit of gold and silver on the surface.
That's Tim Cannon of Cross Timbers Forestry in a 2009 interview. His Oklahoma firm conducted fieldwork for Geohedral LLC, which staked claims on about 60,000 acres around Yakutat. The area included beaches, upland dunes, and a nearby mesa. Geohedral said it found strong evidence of gold, silver, iron, and titanium worth a king's ransom. Well, maybe Bill Gates or Warren Buffett's ransom. And then...
it went from something like a $40 billion project to nothing practically overnight.
That's Skip Ryman, manager of Yakutat's borough government.
It had potential to get people really excited and stir up a lot of controversy, but the town held its own. It sat there and said, well, let's wait and see.
Conservation and native groups raised environmental concerns, but backers spread the news that assays, tests that determine mineral content, suggested there could be 35 million ounces of gold. That's about 1,000 tons. Then came word of follow-up tests showing much less mineral content, not enough to be worth mining. Yakutat Municipal Planner Bill Lucy says eventually, Geohedral gave up its claims.
After some of the reports from both the state DNR and the Forest Service mining permitting people expressing doubt, the company went away.
A call to Geohedral's Oklahoma City headquarters was answered by Herb Mead Jr. He was the president of the Beard Company, a major investor, when the claims were filed. He declined to be interviewed, but he confirmed the Yakutat mining claims were not maintained and the effort is long over. Meanwhile, court documents show the Beard Company filed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy last fall. That usually leads to liquidation. Yakutat's Lucy says others remain interested in mining, but on a far, far smaller scale.
Those are small mom-and-pop operations. A lot of it's beach placer mining with a pan after a storm, and they can get some pretty good amount of gold up there.
He's seen interest in dredge mining at the Alsek River to the east and the White River to the west, but nothing's happened so far. Lucy also staffs the fisheries advocacy group, Yakutat Salmon Board. He says an operation like Geohedral's could harm fish and wildlife, as well as subsistence and commercial harvests. But small dredge mining could be done in a way that would not damage salmon habitat. This is Ed Schoenfeld, reporting from Yakutat.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld and Matt Miller for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.